The number of this message is 745E13, and the title is The Sinews of the Body of Christ. Father God, we approach thy table again, and we desire food.
Hallelujah.
Lord God, for this is our life and this is our energy. We pray, O God, that thou might anoint our minds and our hearts and our understanding to perceive and to conceive thee within our being, that we might live not in our self-life, but in thy life. Not in our own organizational ways, but in thy body. So Jesus, teach us tonight, we pray, by thy word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Brethren, my heart burns with the word of God, and I feel sure that God is bringing to us new life to bring us into a new place with Him. This is an age and this is a time in which humanity is being lifted, into a higher realm of life. But God is lifting us even into the heavenlies. In our past experiences and with brethren and with the teaching of the church, it was impossible. They thought that the greatest would be to get back to where Adam was when he fell. We find out that there is just one step.
I want to do just what the Lord said. If you doubt anything, you ask me. If the Lord didn't tell me, if I couldn't tell you the time when God tell me, I'll tell you point blank. I have no shame or anything like that. I'll tell you point blank, I didn't get that one from God. But one of the promises that I have with God is that I will say what He tells me to say. And so I want God's people to get the pure, unadulterated food from heaven. I want you to get the food from heaven without mixture. This is my great ambition in God, that I must not speak any of my own words. And may God help me not to. For I don't want to, and I don't intend to. Now praise be to God. I feel the word that God is speaking to my heart tonight. I heard these words, the sinews of the body of Christ. And I began to wonder at them. I realized that the sinews that keep my body together
are after the divine pattern that God created in man to keep our body together. That's the reason why my finger doesn't drop off sometimes, is that the affinity between my finger and the rest of my body is perfect. The sinews hold it together. Amen. And something would have to go very wrong in my body for my heart and limb to fall off. God. Amen. It shows that the thing is so much a part of the body that it couldn't be a part of any other body. Amen. The only time you will function right, the only time you'll have joy, the only time you'll have peace, the only time you'll have the absolute of God is when you are functioning in God's body. Bless His holy name. I have seen people with gifts of the Spirit, and they are using the gifts all over. Some men are using the gifts to make themselves rich. They build big organizations upon the one gift God has given them. Some men are capitalizing on the gifts of God. And I said, my God, that gift belongs to the body. When family, God blesses you, God gives you a gift, never you consider that you have a gift for yourself. That gift is not for you and your family. That gift is not for those whom you would like it to give it to. That gift belongs to the body. Amen. And as soon as we become body conscious, we are going to begin to look towards another a set of human beings who are part of us. We no longer feel ourselves as entities who can do what we want to do, but we feel ourselves as only a little insignificant part of a big whole. Amen. And the bigger the thing you have for the body, is the more your responsibility is great. The greater is your responsibility. Many of you have dreams. You have vision. And some of us take all our dreams and all our visions for ourselves. We try to analyze them as to what it means to me and to my friends and so on. Because we are not body conscious. But there are sinews which are coming alive at this time. There is strength coming in the body at this time. And tonight, I want to show you the sinews that you might recognize them and realize them as being part of yourself. Praise be to God. A verse comes to me with the word. Turn with me to Songs of Solomon. And I don't know how much it has, but it came to me along with the word, which is Songs of Solomon's chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 3. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. Chapter 6, verse 3. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. I see the sons of God coming to the point where we can say, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. There is no separation, no difference between you and Jesus Christ. And as soon as a cry comes from over there and said, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine, and a cry comes from this heart and said, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine, what will be happening right there? We will be meeting in Christ. Many of us are seeking for oneness. We try to find oneness by finding the things that we have common among ourselves. And I say, well, this man believes in the same thing that I believe in, therefore he's one with me. Amen. we should not seek for oneness upon the earthly plane, but we should seek for oneness in Christ. For the deeper you get in Christ, the more you are one with me if I am in Christ. So let us realize that the first point of our progression into this oneness in Christ is that we should be in Christ. Now, as I have said before, it is not every Christian who is in Christ. And it pains some Christians. Some got mad with me. And I mean, some places I don't really go back to preach there. Because they just don't believe that. They said, I have just torn their hearts to pieces. I told them they weren't in Christ. But you see, a truth cannot be hid. It should be revealed to the people of God. Those who are in Christ are those who have been baptized into Christ by the Spirit. And those who are living in Christ. It's so simple. Amen. If you are living in self, how could you be in self and be in Christ at the same time? His self is on the throne, sitting down, ruling and reigning, and you do what you please. Amen. I was reading something in the paper about women asked if you will serve and obey your husband. And many said, oh, we don't want to obey him. We obey him if we please, if we feel like obeying him. And what kind of marriage is that? There must be some boss around the place. Amen. And I want to tell you that if he is really Christ-centered, he's going to be such a sweet person that you don't even know that he's leading you. And I don't believe in just as it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. If Jesus Christ is Lord, then let him rule. Give him the throne willingly. It's a love rulership. It's not a boss and servant rulership. Amen. It's a love rulership that you willingly give him the rulership of your life. And you say, but I have given him. Let me tell you, most Christians give Jesus Christ the rulership when we are singing the song. He is Lord. And they really sing it from their heart. He is Lord. We know it. Amen. But you go out and you rule your own business. You rule your own life. You never ask Jesus if you should do this, if you should go here, what you should do. And you never wait for an answer. You ask him and you get up and run off. You see, so Jesus Christ, when you have made him Lord, then you have entered into Christ. And I know no other simpler term, no simpler way to put it. I could give you deep theological thoughts and biblical words as to when you are really in Christ. But I'm telling you, unless, one scripture, I'm thinking of the 8th chapter of Romans and verse 14. It says, them that are led by the Spirit, those are the sons of God. Did you ever ask yourself the question, what are those who are not led by the Spirit? They are Christians. Amen. But not sons of God. He said, them that are led of the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And in the John chapter 1, and somewhere around verse 12, we are told that he gave them power, authority to become sons of God. So some people have the authority, but they never exercise it. And unless you are led of the Spirit of God, you are not the Son of God. Amen. Now, let's turn our Bibles around to Ephesians. Remember, we are talking tonight about the sinews, the muscles, the strength of the body of Christ. What binds it together? What
an Appaloosa horse for sure.
Amen. And I want you to know that this is exactly where the devil is striking. Yes, right in that point, and I want you to see it with your own eyes. Amen. And many of you are persecuting me for saying the things that I say, but I told you that already. I am not going to say anything unless what God told me. And if you persecute me, you're going to be persecuting Jesus Christ. Amen. For I say he told me. Now, if you can prove that he didn't tell me and help me in that way, I'd be very glad. Amen. And I would like you to ask me a few questions when we have finished here. Just throw any old question at me. Amen. For I believe if Jesus Christ sent me to you, if Jesus Christ speaks in me, if I have this gift of the Spirit where the Spirit tells me what to say, amen, then it really means that you're going to get an answer straight from heaven. Amen. Praise God. And this is what I believe. So we went into Ephesians chapter 4, and we start at verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he that ascended gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. I think I would make a little drawing here on the board. Since my body is the temple of the living God, since your body is the temple of the living God, in the temple must be written the gospel story, right? Did you know that the symbolism of the temple is the gospel? So in the temple must be written the gospel story. So he gave some apostles and some, tell me, prophets, and some evangelists, and some, oh no, I'm kidding. Okay, let me get this line right. Good. And some pastors, and some teachers. Praise God. So then we find that God has said. Now, we're not talking about what the seminaries have said. We're not talking about what the colleges have said. We are not talking about what the church organizations have said. We are talking about what God has said in the body. Now, why did he set these in the body? For the perfecting of the saints. Let's write it down. One, perfecting of saints. Next one. Two, for the work of the ministry. Yes, for what? For the edifying of what? Of the body of Christ. How long is it there for? Just for the apostles' time, isn't that right? These things were set in the body only for Peter and James and John and the 12 apostles, and when they died, the whole thing went shabam. Is that right? How long then? Until when? We all come to what?
In the unity of the faith.
And then of the knowledge of the Son of God. That means until revelation is complete in us, till we understand every word in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Go ahead.
Unto the perfect man.
Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of who? Christ Jesus. Now look, brethren, have we come yet into that unity of the faith? Have we come yet into that knowledge of Jesus Christ? Have we come yet to that perfect man, a one-man company walking through the earth? Have we come yet to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ?
of whom it was said that he had the Godhead bodily? Huh. Have we come to that yet? No. So these people are still working. Amen. These people are still working. If we have not come to that point yet, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers are still working. Now the next question is, where are they working? We don't see them, especially in the organized churches. Amen. We don't see them there. We dare not say that we see these apostles in the organized churches. We dare not say that we see them, the prophets in these places. But thanks be to God, he never left himself without a witness. There are prophets. I have seen them. I have heard them. There are apostles. There are evangelists. There are pastors. There are teachers. But there is something wrong here. Amen. If an apostle, come on now, I'm getting home. I'm coming right home where it hurts. If an apostle is not working towards the unifying of God's body, towards the perfecting of the saints, hallelujah, towards the bringing forth of the instructions that God has given to his body, then the apostle is not fulfilling his calling. Hallelujah. I'm giving you a great idea now. If this apostle is preoccupied with his organization, if he's preoccupied with running his own thing, if he's preoccupied with his tent, if he's preoccupied with getting offerings, then he is not fulfilling his apostolic calling. Amen? And he's in great danger. Nevertheless, he's an apostle. Praise God. If the prophet is not bringing forth the unadulterated word of God as God delivered it, if the prophet is compromising with the Babylonish system, hallelujah, if the prophet is afraid to bring forth the word, though funny it sounds in a world gone wild after Baal, amen, then the prophet is not fulfilling his or her mission. Amen. And this is the age in which we live. The age in which we live now is an age in which apostles have failed. Everyone that I have known up to now have reached to a point and fallen down. Amen. Because he was going his own way. As we preached last night about the golden altar, how many men died at the golden altar. We have reached a point where the men and the women who God has called and anointed have been failing. But thank God, we are at that delicate point where the failure is going to cease. Where God is activating some people who will not fail. Hallelujah. Blessed be to God Almighty, I have faith in God and in his word. I have faith in you that some of you will rise up and follow Jesus and never fail. And the hour is coming when God will anoint his army to combat the great mountain of satanic powers that are at this moment ruling the world and the children of disobedience. Praise be to God. Now, praise God. If you believe this, then I'll go one inch further. Praise God. Amen. I want you to turn your Bibles with me over to Exodus. You know that everything I teach you in the New Testament, I show you where it comes from in the Old Testament. Amen. Now, where did Paul get all this? From the Spirit, of course. But they never preached anything unless it was in the Old Testament. Nothing was ever preached in the New Testament unless it was in the Old Testament. So let us look in the tabernacle, in the type and shadows 26, Exodus 26, and see if we can find where God has outlined this work in the tabernacle. Now, if the apostle is not called unto any but those who are in Christ. Amen. The work of the apostle is to the people who are in Christ, or to people who are coming into Christ, not those who don't want Christ, or don't want to move and live and have their being in Christ. The prophet has no use outside there. Amen. I've seen prophets of God. You know what they're doing? Telling all different kinds of people what God says about them. And they are coming off near on to divination. Did you know prophets can go off into divination? Read your Bible well, and you'll see how many prophets in the Old Testament went off into divination. And divination is very near to prophecy. Amen? Because there's only one little line of difference. And the line of difference is that one that is glorifying God, and the other one is just telling people what they want to hear for the fun of it. Yes. Amen. I come and I lay hands on you, and I said, oh, blessed art thou of the Lord, and I give you all those sweet things, and you are blown up and feel good. Amen. And I know some brother has long sheets of paper, no harm in that, of course. Have long pads of paper of what the Lord say about him. And he's living in the piece of paper. And he never gets off the ground to really do what God wants him to do. All he's priding in is that God says I'm so-and-so, and God says I'm so-and-so. Amen. Praise be to God. And this he gets from prophets. I believe that prophecy in the church is going to reprove and rebuke and exhort and comfort. Hallelujah. I believe that the apostles who come off the line with God and begin to do their own thing, that the prophet should correct them. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe God. You see these two fingers? These two fingers can lift up almost anything, because they were made to work together. Without this finger, this one is hardly of any use. The thumb and this first finger here, apostle and prophet, must work together. Yeah. Apostle begin to fail, prophet must prophesy. Amen. Bless God. In Israel, David was the type of the apostle, for he was king. You see that? Good. Now, the prophet Nathan came to him and said to him, David, this man had one little sheep. And he said the other guy had a lot of sheep. And he said his friends came, and this man went and took this man's one sheep, killed it, and gave it to his friends for their pleasure. And he said, tell me about that man, let me get him. He said, thou art the man.
Right.
Bless be to God. Brother David, he dropped on his knees. Amen. He dropped on his knees because he was corrected. He was a man after God's own heart. If you want to see if an apostle is really after God's own heart, you correct him.
Amen.
You correct him. Amen. The last one I corrected, I was put out. The last one I corrected, I was put out of the group. I was excommunicated by word given out against me. Amen. Praise be to God. Because if the apostle controls the group, his head of the group, how can the group correct their head? Amen. If he's boss, amen, if he holds all the trump cards, amen, how would a prophet rise up and say, thus saith the Lord God, your doctrine is gone wild? Amen. The great problem here is that these men make unto themselves organizations, and they become the heads of the organization. And once they are the head of the organization, they have lost the balance that God has put in the body to correct them. He can't be corrected. he can't be put out. He holds the trump card. So, praise be to God, we find that God is bringing forth shepherds who will feed his sheep and be interested in nothing else but feeding the sheep of God, not be interested in becoming bosses or rulers over God's people, but will humble themselves before the mighty hand of God and let the body function and give them life. Amen. For life without the body is not life. Did you hear me? Jesus Christ speaks to us in three different methods. He speaks from out there. The Christ himself sometimes whisper a word in your ear. Amen. He speaks from the body. Jesus Christ speaks from the body. You hear me? And he speaks in here with a still small voice. And when I hear a voice out there, the voice in here says, yes, yes. Praise God. There is peace inside when I hear the voice of God speaking from my brother. And unless we can come to the point where we submit to the brethren, submit to the word of God, it doesn't matter who brings it, submit to the word of God, unless we come to that point, we are not ready to be in the body. Blessed be to God. You know, sometimes you take something and you thought it was all right, and yet it gave you an upset stomach and you had to vomit up and bring it back up. Eh? That happens sometimes, doesn't it? Well, those weren't ready for the body. Every prophet is anointed for the body of Jesus Christ. Every apostle is anointed, every teacher, every evangelist anointed for the body of Jesus Christ. And anything that works against the body of Jesus Christ is not anointed for the body, not of the body, not ready to be put in the body. Okay, you go to the store, amen, and you buy a lovely steak, amen. You don't go home and start chewing on it. You get some fire and you prepare it for the body. And this is what some of the brethren outside are, lovely steaks. They would make a wonderful, beautiful a part of the body, but they are not ready. They need fire. They need to be prepared in the outer court before they are ready to enter into the holy place, which is the body of Christ. Now, we turn to Exodus 26. And we read from verse 15. I'll just run it through. And thou shalt make boards for the tabernacle of shittim wood, standing up. 10 cubits shall be the height of the board, and a cubic and a half shall be the breadth of the one board. 2 tenons shall there be in one board, set in order one against another. Thus shalt thou make for all the boards of the tabernacle. And thou shalt make the boards for the tabernacle 20 boards on the south side, southward. Thou shalt make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under one board, for his 2 tenons, and 2 sockets under another board for his 2 tenons. And for the second side of the tabernacle, on the north side, there shall be 20 boards, and there shall be 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under one board, 2 sockets under another board. And for the sides of the tabernacle westward, thou shalt make 6 boards, and 2 boards shalt thou make for the corners of the tabernacle in the 2 sides. And they shall be coupled together beneath, and they shall be coupled together above the head of it, and unto one ring. Thus shall it be for them both. They shall be for the 2 corners, and they shall be 8 boards, and their sockets of silver, 16 sockets, 2 sockets under one board, and 2 sockets under another board. Verse 26, let's read that too. Thou shalt make bars of shittim wood, 5 for the boards of the one side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, 5 bars and boards of the side of the tabernacle for the 2 sides westward. And the middle bar in the midst of the boards shall reach from one end to end. And thou shalt overlay the boards with gold,
and make their rings of gold for places for the bars, and thou shalt overlay the bars with gold. Thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof, which was showed thee in the mount. Praise God. Let's see if we can draw what we just read there a while ago. We have the tabernacle. Now remember, there would be two compartments. The first compartment is the outer court, right? Now this is outside, and we have out there the preparation to enter in. Now here we have boards, 20 boards. Good, 20 boards. Now, the boards of the tabernacle represent the lively stones built together a spiritual household. And you are that lively stone. Board represents flesh, humanity. Okay? The gold covering the board represents the covering that God covers your humanity, so that your humanity doesn't rub against the other person's humanity in the body. So in the body, flesh does not touch flesh. There is no sight of flesh in the body of Jesus Christ, for Jesus covers it all. The nature of God will so cover your human way that you are not a terror to the other brethren. Amen. Those who are distressing the body of Christ, who are always making trouble, who are always carrying tales, who are always destroying, always hurting other people, these people are not placed yet in the body. You have to get rid of that kind of nature before you are part of the body of Christ. Because as a part of the body of Christ, you are covered with gold. Your sins are covered. Your flesh, carnality, is completely covered, not seen at all. Amen? Good. Now, so this is gold covering here. We find that the number 20 here, we have 10 in the middle, and 10 over there. 20 is another number which shows the witness of God. 2 and 0. Now, remember, we are talking about the sinews that hold the body together. Now, what is it that makes these boards stand straight?
There are two principles which hold the boards standing straight. First is that they are buried, the mortises are cut in silver sockets which are buried in the earth, driven down in the earth, and the tenons are pushed down into these mortises. That's like a square peg in a square hole. Two standing like a man standing on his two legs. So these tenons stand in their mortises and at the base in silver. And the next principle is that the boards are held in line, held together, held straight, held in order by the bars. There are 5 bars. The one at the top is from number 1 board to number 10 board. Another one from number 10 board to number 20 board. So 2 carries the whole space of 30 cubits. Now the next one is the middle bar, which goes right through from one end of the tabernacle to another, which is 30 full cubits. And the bottom bar is just at the top from number 1 to number 10, and from number 10 to number 20.
The name of this bar is called the prophet. You must have guessed that. The name of this bar is the evangelist. That the two top bars, the two bottom bars, are the pastor and the teacher. Just like what Paul said here, just as we have them in the five fingers. And the middle bar is the apostle. Now, if you don't recognize these, if you don't recognize these, you are without the ministry of the body. Because God is sending these ministries right through and through, and some churches throw them out. Yes, sir. Some churches throw the true ministers of God out. They doom themselves to live in a half-life for the rest of their lives. They don't want the apostolic ministry. They don't want the prophet ministry because one brother told me, he said, look, man, he said, the worst thing you could ever do is to allow prophecy to come forth in your church. He said, that thing wrecks your church so fast, and you better believe it, it does. Because if you are running a man-made thing, if you are running a man-made thing and you call God in it, it's going to wreck. Now, understand, if you are not led up the Spirit, you can't handle that thing. I'm telling you, that thing pulled me to pieces. I spent many nights weeping and couldn't understand what's happening. Because the moment God begins to prophesy, the devil comes up and prophesies, and he's so cute you don't know the difference. Unless you are in the Spirit, you are in a hard position. Now, God has to lead. And if you don't have God leading, and you are leading, I'm telling you something, the most you can do is just sweep everything out. Throw the whole thing out. I know in churches that certain people speak in tongues, and the minister asked them to leave. Yeah. I know one sister, she spoke in tongues, and the minister came to her and asked her to leave. You know, because he knew she was going to get other people speaking in tongues very soon. And so he just asked her to leave and got rid of her. Now, we go on. We see, therefore, the prophet and the apostle, and the fivefold ministry is part of this system here. But how are they held in? Do they have hooks that they use to hook the body? Amen. Amen. Does the apostle and the prophet and the pastor and the teacher have hooks to hook the body? If they did, then Paul wouldn't have been thrown out of all the churches of Asia. Amen. When the churches of Asia begin to go their own way, they couldn't stand Paul. They threw him out. They said, don't come back. We don't want you. Amen. So, it must be the body that has the hook. And what kind of hooks they have? Rings. Marriage rings. Rings, each one has rings, and the ring holds the board. The board goes through the ring. The place that the anointing is with the body, and the apostle fits in to the anointing that the body has. In other words, you cannot go and use your own hook, whether it be membership or what else, to get people and to hold them to you if you have a ministry. Your ministry is going to attract them, and they are going to have something in them that they want, your ministry. And they reach forth and take that ministry. So praise be to God, we find the hooks being in the body and not in the apostles and prophets. Now, we found that there were 40 sockets here. And you know, 40 is the number of tribulation and the end of man. When man comes to his end, he always has 40. We see the prophet fasting 40 days. He fasted to the end of all human thing. Jesus Christ fasted 40 days, and it was not human. He went beyond the point where a human being would go. And this 40 therefore represents this tribulation number, suffering and bringing man to the end of himself. Praise be to God. And this is the means by which you stand in the body. The Spirit and the Word will bring you to that point where you come to the end of yourself. Now, we go on. I don't want to give you too much detail. You know, I just want you to get the idea of what I'm talking about. The prophet and the apostle and the pastor and the teacher, the evangelist, they are the ministry that God has set in the earth to hold the body together. You say, then what about all the other ministers? Well, we have ministers in denominations. And as I told you the other night, the word denomination means division. A denomination is a division. And so each denomination is a division which is dividing up Christianity into little segments, each one being its own ruler. Now, this is not Christ. And the denominations have nothing to do with Christ. But the people of Christ are in there. Are you with me? The people of Christ are in there. Never go and curse a person because he is in a denomination. But the judgment of God is on the denomination. And all those who are blind will remain in the denomination until the judgment of God hits. But blessed be to God, there's a time when God says, come out of her, my people, because God looks at denominationalism as a harlot system. Some people believe it is a special church God is talking about. But God is not talking about a special church as the harlot. This harlot has got all the other harlots to be harlots. And they are all now harlots going away from God rather than going towards God. So the body of Christ is a different thing entirely from the church system. And there's one basic difference. The body of Christ has the headship of Jesus. Jesus Christ is your head. Amen. Jesus Christ leads you. No matter how weak you are, no matter how stumbling you may feel within yourself, if Jesus is leading you, then Jesus is your Lord and you are in the body of Christ. Amen. Now, but an organization is different from the body of Christ in that an organization is under a bishop, a board, a man. It is a human government. You see, there was only one government in the earth when God gave Noah the franchise to replenish the earth. Then man began to rebel against God, and we read about Nimrod coming forth and rebelling against God and bringing this great new thing in. And he built a city. And what was the name of the city? Babylon. So Babylon is a symbol to God of rebellion against God. You get it? The word Babylon comes from Babel, comes from Baal, which is the name of Nimrod. And this meant a rebellion against God Almighty. So this you must either belong to the Babylonish system or belong to the body of Christ. Yeah. Babylon is exactly opposite to Jerusalem. And the spiritual Jerusalem are those who form the body of Christ. Now the body of Christ is being led by the ministry which is ordained of Christ. Do you understand that? The body of Christ is being led by the ministry which is ordained of Christ. Now, you ask me, which ministry is ordained of Christ? Well, if you are of Christ, you know the ministry that is ordained of Christ. Amen. You see, you don't have to go and join the body of Christ. You cannot join it. You can't say, well, if you come here, you are in the body of Christ. No man can put you in the body of Christ. Amen. You can't put yourself in the body of Christ. You are baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ when Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. And for fear you forget what I have told you, I will stop here. If you think you have it now, I'll just stop here. There's so much more about this that we could say. But let us stop here, and with one exception here, that the ring represents marriage. There is a big ring up here, and it holds a backboard here, a board at the back here, extra board, and an extra board at that corner. And that one represents Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. And the other one represents the sons of God in the end time. And they too hold the body of Jesus Christ together. Amen. Until we all come, amen, into the unity of the faith of the Son of God, into that one man company. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Any questions? I'll just spend 5 or 10 minutes, as the case may be, with some questions and answers as the Lord leads there. Anything you didn't get clear yet?
Okay, so it's coming to perfecting the saints and the work of the ministry and the edifying the body of Christ. Isn't that going to be an awfully long time?
Praise God.
That's a long time.
Oh, well, that's a very honest question, but I don't believe that. I believe in a very, very short time we will come into this. You see, because I believe God and I believe my own heart. And I see people now so tired of the world, so tired of the system, and want Jesus so badly that I know that something's going to happen to us very soon. Amen. You see, God is at this moment working in the hearts of his brethren. Amen.
What was it you said about the fast, that 40 day fast brought you to what?
It brings you to the end of yourself.
The end of yourself.
Yes. Yes, 40 days, if 40 is the number of tribulation and the end of man. Praise God. Well, this is part of the faith that we have in God. If God says so, it is so. Amen. And you don't see it with your eyes. You can't see it, the confusion and everything. But I believe it with all my heart and I rejoice in it.
It brings with the end of tribulation in your own soul, right?
Yes. Yes. Praise God. Amen. One more question.
When we're coming into this perfection and we're overcoming things of our flesh.
Yeah.
There's a lot of times when you meet up with somebody who knows a lot of stuff that's in the Bible, but they don't believe the part about like overcoming and the perfecting of saints and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yes. A lot of times I've run into this where I'll feel that the Lord has shown me so much and I want to share it so badly.
Yeah.
So badly. And somebody will come up and say two or three things. And my mouth is just shut. I don't, not that I want to, but and so that, you know, like it's being put down, like I get the, you need to get into this, you need to get into this, you need to get into this, because you don't know anything.
Yeah.
Because nothing shows. And you know that God's done something, you know. And is that like part of the course? I mean, is that how it goes? Or?
Well, that's part of your patience. You need to fellowship with the people who are like yourself. And this hunger and this desire to share is what God is doing. It's part of the thing that's joining you to the other people who are like you, so that you can share with them. See, this is why the little saying goes that birds of a feather flock together. This is why they flock together, because they can fellowship. Now, this is what is forcing you to be with a certain type of people. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to take my seat.
I was thinking today about what you talked about last morning, and you talked about being in the Spirit.
Yeah.
Now, is this always just when we're communicating with God?
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to elaborate a little bit on being in the Spirit.
Being in the Spirit. Well, being in the Spirit is when you communicate with God, because whatever form the communication takes, it is being with God. Or it is when the Spirit communicates with you then. In other words, if the Spirit is moving in you to do something, and you are in touch with the Spirit, then you are in the Spirit. For instance, let's take when you are out of the Spirit. When you are out of the Spirit is when you are moving in the flesh, in self, in somebody else's desire. You are doing the thing because somebody else wants you to do it, or something like that. Then you are in flesh, in self. But when you are in the Spirit is when you are moving by the Spirit. This is the end of this message and question.